The following is a King Fisher Media production.
Hey guys, you're listening to the In the Blood podcast. I am your host, AC Bergen Fisher. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, whether you are a new or returning listener. I'd like to invite you to consider what is being shared with an open mind and a receptive heart. Before we begin, though, the following disclaimer. I am a coach, not a therapist. Everything I share is opinion-based and from personal experience. If you require therapy, I'd be happy to help you explore your options. For those who would prefer coaching with me, that can be arranged via email at intheBloodPod@gmail.com. Finally, if you'd like to support this project for as little as $5, you can do so by visiting buymeacoffee.com/intheBloodPod. Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody to the In the Blood podcast. What we like to do every week is talk about how our relationship with self affects our relationship with others. And today I'm joined with somebody very special, Marius Germanus, who is probably one of the most qualified people I've come across to speak on this topic. The little bit he shared about his story, just it got me hooked immediately because of the way life, through challenging circumstances his way, he managed to turn it around. I don't want to talk too much on his behalf when he's sitting right here and very, very capable of speaking on his own behalf. Marius, welcome to the show.
Thank you, AC, for having me and for such a nice introduction.
Okay, so what is it exactly you do and how did you start doing it?
So my journey started from self-development. I got curious about life. I started asking questions. Why do I live like this? And money-wise wasn't great. And I just started asking more questions than average, like what I used to do before. And when I started asking questions, I started reading books, watching podcasts, going to men's group, and different ways of kind of cleaning my brain from the programming which I had before. And then what happened was divorce. When my family looked as a perfect couple, we had our own business, we worked both in the business, what we lived from. And a lot of people looked up to us as we kind of have it nice. We look good, we have flat, we have like everything sorted, life looking well. And then the lightning struck. It's 14 years together, and when the decision was made, it felt like half of me was thrown into, like, just basically as damaged, written off. And then I knew that I will work on myself to the moment that I will be able to look at my woman the same way I looked to her up to the divorce, because I knew that one event can't change my way of looking at her. So I started my journey of self-discovery and finding my own ways, because when I heard the traditional psychologist saying to me that now it's going to take me 1 year or 3 years of crying and like being depressed and grief from that, yeah, I was like, no, I'm too young. I was 32. I've spent 14 years with my woman, and I was like, I don't have 3 years of crying. Like, there has to be a better way than that. And now when I come across like posts on Facebook, or I hear men talking about divorce, about marriage, about relationship in general, I see stuff just because I went through the journey. And now my relationship with my ex is amazing. Like, we very good friends. I'm very grateful to have her in my life. She's raising our daughter. And I understand that not a lot of people can be so grateful for the relationship, and it means a lot. Like, if you spend half of your life, 10 years, 5 years, or like a part of your life with one person, there was a reason for that. And it's up to us if we choose to see the gift which the crisis brings with it. So I started my way of helping people as something what I've done for myself, and I just couldn't live without doing it. Like, I started talking, asking questions, and life keeps bringing me people, and I love joining. Like, I love sharing my journey. It's not like I tell you, come to me and I just tell you, you do this, you do that. No, I'll ask you questions and you're going to understand what you've been missing.
It's exciting stuff when you figure out how to get along with somebody where you've had a massive conflict that has resulted in the end of, I can't say the end of the relationship, but the end of a chapter of the relationship where things have to become redefined.
Yes,
because very, I mean, very good. Me like you, I mean, I can understand my ex-wife is one of my best friends. I love her more than just about any of my other friends because we've got that shared history. We have a child together. A lot of times people meet us together in a social situation and it shocks them that we're not romantically together. But I mean, romance might've been a problem, but everything else is still very, very much intact. She's still all of these wonderful things that I've always appreciated. And I mean, not just with somebody like that. I mean, I found with most people, we have more in common than we have in conflict. But yes, the conflict, that's sexy, that's exciting, it catches our attention.
Yes,
very good. Has that been your experience as well?
It's not like I see it in a bit different way. Like, I'm very happy that that you have this type of relationship. And very good point that conflict is something sexy. People get addicted to sharp emotions, sharp feelings. It's easy to be like, she's this and that, and like, blah, blah, like, you know, using different words,
mm-hmm.
and not looking to yourself. So it's like, it's always easy. And I think that's actually part of educational system where we look on the outside whose fault it is. We're looking right for who's done the mistake. That's not going to fix nothing. Like, why? Like, yes, you're going to feel good about yourself for that second. But what did you do that the mistake wouldn't happen? What was your input on the situation? Have you tried to prevent it? Have you tried to say something, look something, think something different that it wouldn't happen? So my life, especially after divorce, was like, if something is happening, I need to look into myself first. If someone is acting one way or another, like, that's one of my rules in the relationship. Like, how you feel about me being me is your problem. That's because you see my act, like my behavior, through your past lens, basically what you experienced in childhood, in teenage years. And I shouldn't change for you to be comfortable. That's you who have to deal with your traumas. I'm not saying that there's no situations where we kind of sit down, you explain me what happened, why is this happening, and how you feel about it. And then I can think about it like, yes, maybe I am an ass. Yes, sometimes I don't feel that I should be acting in that way or, you know, a different way. But in general, your feelings is your responsibility. I can help you get through those feelings and we can share that, but it doesn't mean that I have to change in order for you to feel good. You have to work on your triggers. Why do you have the trigger? Why my smile, or like, it's very, actually very good point. Why my like on a Facebook, you know, on a random girl's post is triggering you? What happened in your past for that to be a trigger? So yeah, there's a lot of situations, and very small actually situations, especially in the social media time, where we can put it up and like bring it as a trigger and use it as an example of like, I'm not changing. Like, if I like the person, maybe I like the content, there's like a million reasons why I can like the post. And I will like the post if I like it. And if you get triggered, that's on you.
I think it's a powerful thing when you come to a point in life where you realize that to a strong degree, offense is taken, it's not given. Right. So it's not like I give myself license to be unkind to people, but at the same time, I realize that no matter how kind or careful I am, there is still room for them to get super, super triggered. And I have to give them space to deal with their stuff, just like I have to take time to deal with my stuff if I'm triggered.
Yes. Works both ways.
And I like that you had mentioned, you know, that there are things that happen in our past that will motivate us to react certain ways in the present. I mean, I grew up in a very, very abusive environment, right? So, I mean, it's not like I'm looking for trouble in relationships, but trouble seems like it looks for me quite often. And I've got to be very, very vigilant as far as understanding, okay, how might this affect me? Why am I reacting like this in the moment? I would never ask these days, Marius, why are you being so mean to me? Why are you hurting me? I would take a moment and say, you know what, Marius, I need 10 minutes to myself. And I would go take some time and think, okay, what did happen to me? Why is this bothering me? This one little situation, it's I'm having an abnormal reaction. It's an interesting thing, because when you start understanding yourself and your own reactions, you become naturally more curious about the other person, right?
So I want to share one story about myself, what happened, I think it's about 2 years ago. So basically, I've volunteered for a men's support helpline, and we had a two-day training, which was live. It was about 8 people, I think, in the room, and we had 2 days, 6 hours each to kind of have a therapy session together, like a group therapy. And I think on a second day, I was sitting, and what happened was, when I don't have time to explain myself like properly, like I mean, you know, like take it from here and kind of take you through the journey why I'm saying so, I just drop bombs, like, and like usually that becomes as a trigger, as something where I break patterns, and then people. So it was, I think, 8 people, and out of 8 people, 5 people were like, but Marius, like, it doesn't feel comfortable sitting next to you. Like, don't you think you should be doing that? Like, don't you think you should change a bit, that it would be more nice close to you? Like, look, like, so if I will be 1% less myself for you to be 1% more, so who's going to live my life? So I'm going to meet someone else, and someone else is going to be triggered about the way I am. So it's going to be another 1%, you know, turn from where I'm at now.
Right.
So and after we meet 100 people, they become so comfortable in our life, but then there's no me left in my life. So why would I need those 100 people in my life if there is no me left? Then another person was like, but maybe it's your security, like you're putting shields because you're don't want to be sensitive, you don't want to feel. I'm like, no, I don't feel like that. I feel like me being authentic at the given moment, and it might be what you're saying might be true, but at the given moment, I don't feel that. So 5 people were asking these questions in a quite intimate, you know, space.
Right.
And I felt such a big stress. I was in a room. I kind of felt that I'm very cold, and I just went to take my winter jacket. I put it on. And what I do, I just kind of meditate and scan my body, like, what's happening? Like, what is the cold about? And I understood that was probably the first time in my life where I was vulnerable in a group, in front of a group of people, where I had to stand basically naked with my soul and stand my ground without trying to make them like me.
Right.
So that was a very kind of growing experience for me as well. I just love being, uncomfortable. I love being myself for whatever price it is.
It's a powerful thing. And that's something that, I mean, I just turned 51 years old this year. And I would like to say I've had this figured out for a long time, but it's literally just the last 3 or 4 years where I've really, really gotten comfortable with this idea that when I am my authentic self in every situation, whether I'm by myself, I'm talking to you, I'm making posts on social media, I'm with my partner, any of these things, it's the same me all of the time.
Yes.
When you implement that system, I understand that feeling you're talking about where you're almost feeling naked and cold. Because, I mean, when I get anxious, that's how it manifests in my body, too. I get very, very cold on my skin. But after a while, it becomes so comfortable. You realize that, you know, honesty, truth, transparency. These are very, very easy things to maintain because there's nothing to think about. I don't have to remember, okay, how do I need to be with Marius? How do I need to be with somebody else? I'm just AC, like 100% of the time. And I can also identify to a degree how that does sometimes make people uncomfortable, this confidence that comes along with it. Because I think quite often people they observe the confidence and they almost perceive it as a type of arrogance. You know, like, well, why do you have to be that way? Can't you water it down? It's like, look, I'm not being an asshole. I'm just being me. If you don't like it, maybe I'm not a good fit for you. I don't know what to tell you, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like, I think world became quite a soft place, especially the Western society. Like, for someone to be straightforward, like, okay, I understand that, like, let's say I'm living in UK now, so I really like the way someone described it as manners on steroids.
Right.
Because, like, in UK, people are very nice. Like, yes, please, hello, please, please, thank you. And I'm like, you say too many things. Like, because I come from Eastern Europe, from Lithuania. Like, when first I came, it was like, and there's too many thank yous. I'm like, I don't need that much. Like, it doesn't fit anymore, you know? So, at the same time, it's nice. And it comes with a price where I can talk to someone and after 3 or 5 questions, I will get so deep that no one ever went that deep. Because for me, your first answers is like, no, this is just noise. Like, I can see there's more to this.
Yeah.
So I ask it in one angle, in a different angle, and then people get just like uncomfortable, like, what is happening here, you know, like why you're asking these questions, like, I haven't been there, not sure if I want to go there, because for me it's always about the essence. I don't really have time, like, to, you know, talk shallow things. Yes, it does happen. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm like some kind of genius where I don't talk nonsense sometimes,
right?
And at the same time, I'm not going to consciously go to a place where you're going to be talking like very superficial stuff. Where it's like, meh, no, it's like, or I will be out in quite fast. So for me, deep conversations and being able to be vulnerable, intimate with a person by asking questions, by getting him to the place where he never met himself to that depth is like something priceless. And I love doing it.
Well, it's an interesting thing too, because in my experience, it's been the case where because I'm willing to be transparent, it's almost like it invites the other people in the room to do the same. It almost becomes awkward to be careful and guarded for them. You know, they want to share.
Yes, actually what you said. Like, I think it's called like power of authenticity. So the more authentic you become to yourself, the more people feel it, and it's just energy. They can feel it.
Okay, so I know that we've got some overlap in our experience, but I mean, I'm guessing that you've got some very unique things as well. So the question I have for you is, you know, like, if I'm looking from my perspective, when a client comes to me and says, okay, how is it so easy for you to get so deep into a conversation, so deep about yourself, when you don't know the person? I always say, look, like, I can't put that in a box for you. For me, I learned how to do it from doing podcast interviews, either as a host or a guest, because we get used to just having deep conversations with people that we've never met before and may never meet again. Yeah. So maybe I'm spoiled by how easy the whole thing has become. But I mean, if you have a client come to you with a similar question, I mean, are you capable of putting that in a box for them and defining, okay, this is how you might want to approach it?
How to become vulnerable? Or like, can you just clarify the question? Or you mean the authenticity?
Yeah, how do you get comfortable with the vulnerability? How do you get comfortable with engaging in depth with people you don't know very well?
Mm-hmm. So you can love someone only to the extent you love yourself.
Hmm.
You can be vulnerable only to the extent you accept yourself. So For example, you have a person who is very triggered about opinions and like how it should be. He tells everyone how they should be and how life should be and like how the community should work. And they have a lot of time to tell everyone how they should live. And it's not about them. It's about that person being uncomfortable with their own skin. And then you have an opposite of that, like people like Trump, where like, he's what you feel, think, or do about the way he is, like, doesn't really concern him much. Yeah. And then the difference between what people achieve in life is the reflection of how vulnerable and real people are with themselves. For whoever who has like, you know, self-confidence is just to the extent. Everything is measured, like the way I see it, is measured, as I mentioned, it was like how much love I love myself, that's how much I can love you. How much vulnerable and accepting I can be, that's how much I can do it for you. So for me, being authentic is and getting the person to the places he hasn't been is because after I got divorced, I had 3 months of thinking, like every 2-4 days I was thinking about ending up my own life because the emotions were taking over. I couldn't cry for 2 weeks because like, I don't know why, everything kind of lifted up to my throat and it went down. I couldn't cry. I was fuming. It felt like I could kill people just because I couldn't put the energy nowhere. And I've decided that that's it. I need to become friends with myself. I need to go to that room, which is empty, where my thoughts are taking over, where it's dark, it's very uncomfortable, and become comfortable. So when I became my own friend, when I came to that room and I'm like, it's nice, my thoughts, I love it. I cleaned the place, it became nice and clean. I take my shoes off when I get back to that place where I haven't been before. That's how I can invite people to come there with me and stand there like side by side to take on as much as they are ready to take on at that given moment. And that's therapeutic. Like it heals. That's the same energy what we're talking in the room when you're authentic. People feel it.
Right.
So when you ask questions and just give space for a person to be and accept him the way he is, where he met himself to the depth he didn't even think he had, magic happens. It's like there's no words to describe this if you never experienced.
Yeah, it's exciting. And I like how you compared managing and cleaning out your emotional space to, you know, how you would approach a physical space. Because that's one thing I think it escapes so many people, how connected our mental space is with our physical surroundings. And, you know, if I'm feeling a little bit down, you know, I like coming into this room. I'm surrounded by things that are meaningful to me. When I'm alone, it's the same thing. I mean, there's dark thoughts, there's troubling experiences that come to mind at inconvenient times. I can't push these things down. I mean, they are there, but I need to figure out, okay, what is a good place to put these where they become part of something comfortable rather than something I can't handle looking at right now?
Yes, very good point. Yes. So,
I mean, it sounds like a lot of what your approach is doing is, I started reading briefly in the last week about something called dialogue therapy, where you become in the habit of externalizing certain feelings, you know, and I didn't realize for many years that I've already done this, you know, like I used to struggle with depression to the point where I would get suicidal. Mm-hmm. And it just because these sad feelings became so large and overwhelming, but at the same time, it was like there was no substance to it. If I tried to grab it, my fingers would go straight through it, but it was suffocating me just the same. And what I learned to do And I mean, it's not like I'm a genius or that my therapist suggested it. It was by accident. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to start looking at this emotion like I would look at a difficult person, somebody who I can't avoid, maybe a coworker who is an asshole. I have to spend time with you. We have to get along. I can't make you go away. But at the same time, I really don't like you. So instead of feeling sad, I started looking at it as spending time with the sadness. The sadness was the name I gave to this feeling. And suddenly the sadness, it lost a lot of its power over me. So I was like, you know what, sadness? I don't like you. You're here. Oh, well, I'm going to do me things and you go do you things.
Yes. So that's the beauty of it. Like, there's no big science here. Like, the problem becomes a problem because we're not comfortable feeling. That's that. That's that simple. You don't need fancy words to tell, like, you know, this again, I'll use this word, Western society. Like, now I'm in UK, people are using a lot of labels, like, oh, he's this, he's that, like a child moved too fast, like boom, pills, some kind of label. And I'm like, can you just let people be? Can you just tell them to sit down, feel their emotions? Because our emotions, our feelings is just guiding us to kind of explore life, to live life authentically. And then you get to the point, school, teachers, society, oh, he's this, he's that, take some pills. And then at the age of 20, you have no idea why you're on this planet. When, like, then you sometimes need to get to the age of 30, 40, 50, whatever, where you, like, you see that your sadness is, like, almost unmanageable. And you're like, okay, if you came here, like, okay, let's talk. Let's sit down and see what you brought me. So if we do that, like, continuously, when it just comes, because those feelings are valid as well. They're there for a reason. They didn't come to hurt you. They're there. So you better get comfortable with them because you have them.
Right.
And then you can live a way more kind of alive life than you're living.
I find your overall approach and philosophy fascinating. And it's, again, maybe it's because I see to some degree a reflection of myself in it. Because, I mean, this conflict that you seem to expertly navigate is a conflict that I understand very well, because my grandmother, who was a very influential person in my life, was from Kiev. So she had that cold, hard Eastern European practicality.
Yes.
But the other strong woman in my life was my mother, who was from South Africa. And South African culture, much like British culture, there's a lot of formality. There's a lot of extra words. The process is unnecessarily complicated at all times. And getting pulled between these two worlds, it causes your perspective to shift in ways that most people cannot possibly understand.
Yes.
It's like, I hear you. It's like, okay, you're observing these things. You understand that there's a reason why they're there. You could appreciate the beauty of the stupidity almost.
Yes, yes, it is.
But it's your, like, Eastern European culture is telling you, like, there's got to be an easier way.
Yes. So that's why I'm grateful for myself. I'm grateful for the universe, God, that gave me strength to go that journey the way I went. Like, it's priceless. I was actually thinking about it, I think it was half a year later or a year later. I was just kind of walking in London because I lived in London after my divorce. And I was thinking, like, if someone would come to me and they'd be like, look, I give you £100,000, but you don't have the experience of the divorce. Like, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the feelings. I would be like, ah, my friend, go do it yourself. I would not sell it for money. It's like, there are some experiences where you just, no matter how hard or how beautiful they are, there's just no price to that. The same way now I'm working with my brother from another mother in Boston in UK, and we have such a deep conversations where we both get each other to the point where it's like, you know, you feel like you just want to leave your skin. And you understand that, no, it's not the solution. Get comfortable there. Like, sit down, look in the eyes, feel what's happening, why it's happening. It's there for a reason. What is the message and how you want to guide further? Because it's easy to run away. It's easy to quit. It's easy to change. But where is it going to get you? What's next? It's going to be the same lesson with a different face, with a different package. But like, it's just a matter of time when you're going to get there and you will still have to solve it. So maybe if life brought it to you, deal with it here and now.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, here in North America, we have a saying, wherever you go, there you are.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so, I mean, we're getting close-ish to the end of our time here. I mean, not like right at the end, but I don't want to like monopolize what I want out of the conversation the whole time. I want to give you an opportunity to just freely talk about yourself in as self-absorbed of a way as you would like. To let people sure. know, like, is there anything that we've missed so far in the conversation that you think everybody needs to know?
I'll just kind of highlight what I think is important. So the main thing is about creating a relationship with yourself. It's a lot of men who, especially men, who we start a conversation from self-love. And let me explain what self-love is, because a lot of people are throwing around that word as everyone should understand it, but it's far away from that. I'll tell you what I think self-love is. It's similar to mindfulness. So let's say how men take shower, like, oh, it's soap, which is like, you know, one soap for hair, body, and a car. They just 1 minute, bam, shower, all wet, soap, shower, out. It's 2-3 minutes. What did you feel in the shower? Nothing. That you didn't even feel that the water was wet, because your thoughts was already to what you're doing next. Where you're going, where you're heading. When we're drinking coffee, we're like, I'm going for coffee. And how we drink coffee, if we're alone, especially. If we're with a woman, okay, we can do it in maybe 10 minutes, 15. If we're alone, what? Boom, latte. Shh. That's it, done. Let's go. Next task, next task. And we always on the run to complete something. And that's how we end up in a broken marriages, relationships, everything, because we don't like enjoy. Stop. You're not gonna go nowhere faster. If you're gonna enjoy yourself for a second, like, the world is not gonna fall apart. Chill. When you take the coffee, bless the coffee, thank for the coffee, because not everyone today can afford to bring the cup of coffee. Try it, like, sip it. Feel how it feels for your body, where it's going, what's the taste, what's the texture, what's the smell of the coffee. When you're taking a shower, take it as experience for your body, because that's your attention to the body, because it's taking you on the journey of this life. Because some of us, I guess you had the experience as well, like, we go to train, go to the gym, boom, boom, this, that, ah, how I feel. Like, if we think back how we kind of showed not hate, but like what type of pressure we put on our body, we sometimes question ourselves, like, how this body still is carrying this idiot who was dealing with him before like that. So I leave this with one simple message. Start talking to yourself the way you would talk with your child, especially for men. Because we used to, you haven't done this, you haven't achieved this, you have to do this, and if not, then you're a failure, you're not good enough, and all the stories in our heads. Would you talk like that with your child? And how do you think that would raise him? So if you wouldn't talk that with your child, don't do it with yourself as well. Because your life will reflect that conversation. And if anyone needs like to speak, to share their journey, or just insights on, I'm here on Facebook, please DM.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff.
Thank you.
I find it fascinating your approach to, I mean, just the overall topic of self-love, because I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a term, it gets thrown around so much, but most people have no idea what it means. And the people who do have an idea what it means, their definitions are all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to really, I would shy away from the term self-love, because I mean, to me, somebody says self-love, I just started thinking, okay, I was a teenage boy once too. I spent a lot of time loving myself, you know, but that's where my mind went. And I realized it's like, no, it doesn't have to be anything crazy or over the top. It's just immersing myself in the current moment. I don't have to, you know, put rose petals in my bathwater.
Yes.
It's like you say, you can just enjoy the taste, the aromas, the textures that life has to offer and gain an appreciation. And that overall habit of appreciation, I think it does empower all of our relationships. I mean, most especially the relationship with self.
Yes.
But I think like most people who have been to any sort of relationship coach, relationship therapist, trust seems to be like more the focus of things. And I get a little squeamish with that, because I find trust, it's another one of those things. It's sexy, it's exciting. But appreciation and curiosity, that's where the power is. Forgiveness even, which ties like, into those two.
That's where the hard part is. When we're coming to relationship challenges or psychological challenges, like let's say 6 years ago, I would say that it's nonsense. I would be like, psychologist, this all, you know, someone is telling me how to think, like, what you talking about? When divorce happened, I had kind of a baggage of knowledge, but I didn't have the wisdom how to use it. So I understood that my divorce happened that I would kind of grow the muscle on the skeleton of knowledge, that it would become a wisdom.
Hmm.
And when I applied all the knowledge, now I don't need to think. Like, I talk to the person and information just kind of flows through me. So I think it's important that we would empower ourselves to not only know, but to let ourselves experience that. Otherwise, it's useless. Till it's not an experience and knowledge, it's not the full wisdom. That's how I see it. Because you have teachers, you have professors in universities which have no clue what they're talking about, because their life is not showing what they're saying. They're not walking the talk. They know the theory behind it. And then there's like business people that have no theory, but their life is showing the results. So let's connect. Let's connect and bring the full wisdom to the person. And it's easy to get lost with all the therapies and different names for it, because why I'm into relationship coaching, because that's something what leads me from age of 14. I remember I always was looking for conversations, for deep conversations, for uncomfortable conversations. And I was always comfortable there. And I started studying coaching. I understood that most of the techniques I already knew by my instinct. It was just me learning by asking questions. And when I just kind of put the names, like it's that technique, but in the end of the day, that doesn't change. As long as there is the result, I'm happy. But for the result to happen as well, the person has to be ready for the change, because it's not easy. You know it yourself. It's not the sweet spot in the beginning to be in. But after, like for me, it's usually like 2-3 months, and like you're in a way better place. And that's everyone who's going for therapy, psychologist, have one session to feel how you feel about the person. Is he able to offer you like tangible results? What's going to happen after 4 sessions? What we're going to do in 10 sessions? Like what you can expect? What's the journey? Because you can go to some of those people for 10 years and still don't have any results. Like there's different approaches to life. Not everyone who's going to psychologist really wants results. They're just going there to have a card. Oh, I'm doing the job. It's the same like having a gym membership. Oh, I have a gym membership, but you're still fat, or like you're still out of shape. Well, I have gym membership. Like that's how people kind of live this life.
Okay, so if somebody is ready to start embracing these changes for real, not just buying a membership, if somebody's looking to engage in this journey of, like how you put it, putting the muscles onto the skeleton and developing the wisdom, and they want to explore and see how good of a fit it is, maybe taking this journey with Marius, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Facebook or Instagram. I can send you the links that, like, Marius Germanis on Facebook. Everyone can DM and I will definitely reply because I love contacting people.
Fantastic. And then, yeah, for anybody who's listening, as always, I'll put links in this week's show notes so that you can get a hold of Marius. I mean, obviously, as we've all heard the last little bit less than an hour or so, I mean, this is a person who's got tons of great stuff to share. I have nothing but respect for your perspectives and your insights, not just the stuff where I agree with you because it's similar to my own approach, but you've mentioned a few things that have given me pause for thought that have sort of challenged some of my comfortable positions. You've given me some thinking to do now as well, which is great. I mean, all of us, we need to bump up against each other so we can learn from each other. I mean, it's not all about teaching each other. Teaching is fun. It's easy, but learning... I don't know. I think that could be fun too, if you give it a chance. So, Marius, I sincerely appreciate you taking the time today. Your insights, again, just such powerful stuff. And I wish you all the best in your coaching and in your relationships moving forward.
Thank you, AC, for having me here. It was a brilliant conversation. And one thing which I want to share, like, I could see it from your face and from your eyes. Like, that's how I read people. Like, I can see that you're alive. I can see that you're kind of booming. And just look after it. That your journey, it started, and it's beautiful to see people who are inspired to be on their own journey. So it was a pleasure for me to speak to you and to connect with you.
Very, very much appreciate that. Again, Marius, thank you for joining us. Thank you, everybody else, for listening. And until next week, my friends, much love.
Thank you. Bye.